Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here again, these words from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Falling short is often not something that we enjoy. It's rather difficult for us, be that in sports, at work, in your home, or your own personal life, not to mention your own moral and spiritual life. Falling short is difficult for us to deal with at times. So in order to compensate for our shortcomings, we've collectively, as a society, developed a measurable approach to life that gives us the illusion that we're not doing too bad. Sure, we're willing to recognize that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but that hasn't stopped us from measuring distances. We're constantly comparing ourselves to others, seeing who has fallen shorter. Where are you at? Well, have I beat you a little bit? We size up the competition. Who's closer to God? Better behaved, more pious, more holy, more devout. Rather than using God's law to diagnose our sinful and condemned condition, we use it as a tool of measurement to see how we compare to others. Of course, this is nothing new. 500 years ago, in Martin Luther's day, monks invented additional ways to measure one's piety. The Ten Commandments weren't good enough, so they came up with more rules to justify their piety and prove their moral superiority. Well, 1,500 years before that, the Pharisees of Jesus' day did the same thing. They created their own set of rules to measure their works and keep a scorecard of goodness. How are you measuring up? Of course, the words of Jesus, though, tell Pharisee, friar, and every fellow human being alike that anyone who sins is a slave to sin. You can't attain salvation simply by being the one who sins the least. Nor, as Luther would set straight and through the Reformation, can you earn your way, buy your way, or work your way into heaven. It is only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you have the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Apostle Paul reminds us of that in that reading. Listen again. For by works of the law, he says, no human being will be justified in God's sight. They may be right. Since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, he says, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Measurements are destroyed. Christ is at the center. But alas, old habits die hard for a sinful people. Still today, our society is obsessed with measurements, with keeping score. Everywhere you look in life, it's been turned into a competition and into a game that, as Charlie Sheen reminded us, is all about winning. Your life is quantified. How do you measure up? How do you compare? Are you doing enough? What have you accomplished? You live life sizing it up. comparing it to someone else's, and seeing how you stand amid the competition. And in our technology-advanced society, all kinds of gizmos and gadgets are there to help us measure anything we can think of. Maybe you've seen one of the latest fads, the Fitbit. If you don't know what a Fitbit is, you're missing out. It's a watch-like band that you put on your wrist, and it lets you measure things like your pulse, your steps, and even your sleep. And if that's not enough for you, you can get a smart fork. Not a smartphone, a smart fork. It's called the Happy Fork. It's a fork that sends data to an app on the device of your choice, and it measures how fast you're taking a bite. And should you take a bite sooner than the recommended, nutritionist recommended 12 seconds, it'll vibrate to shake your food off and make you slow down. Everyone's going off to order one, I know. We are a society that is obsessed with measuring, with data. Where can it give me the edge? Put me over the top. Let me win at life. We're so preoccupied with measuring, with data, nearly every aspect of our life, that even our sleep is now measured. In fact, sleep deprivation has been declared a national epidemic. And that means there is now a sleep industry. A sleep industry, people. It makes $32 billion annually. The clock, you see, is a perpetual tool of measurement. It tells us that there's 24 hours in the day. And if you want to win at life, you need to be making the most of those hours. So you work all hours of the day. You try to get ahead, prove your worth, and justify your existence. And even when your body stops for the day, your brain, your mind doesn't. It keeps going on into the night. Because you're trying to do more, earn more, and be more so that you can win at life, even if it means losing your sleep and your sanity. But not to worry. The experts tell us our sleep problem can be solved, but only if you're really willing to work at it. If you do these steps, take this medication, and follow this plan, then you'll be able to get some sleep. People, this is insane. Do you see how obsessed and disordered we have become in our society? We're so maxed out that we've made sleep into something that we have to work at. That's the very opposite of what sleep is. Everywhere we turn, data is being gathered. Politicians pander to one demographic or another because the polling data tells them to. Businesses measure the output of their employees. Workers compare paychecks. Men compare trucks, boats, and who has the best high school story. Dads tally up their kids' sports stats and compare those. Women compare fashion sense and family makeups and breakups. Working moms size up stay-at-home moms. Stay-at-home moms size up working moms. Kids compare homework, grades, and toys. We are constantly measuring and comparing to see who's winning and who's losing at life. All the while, we fail to see that there is no distinction. All have fallen short. All have sinned. There is no difference. And all this comparing, it's the idolatry of data. Nothing good comes from it. Remorse and regret often end up being the result, and sadly, those things too are measures of your life. You can come to see others represent what you could have been rather than what Christ has made you to be. You look at others and see the dissatisfaction of where you are at rather than looking and seeing where Christ is at. You look around, you see your burdens, you grow angry with your circumstances, you compare them to others, and then you despise people for their place in life without truly knowing what their place in life is or the burdens that they're bearing, all the while forgetting that Christ loves you right where you are at. Warts, hurts, anger, and all. The Apostle Paul's words are a needed reminder that among us there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because the sad reality is we always lose when we keep score. We lose when we measure distances. We lose our humility, we lose our humanity, and we lose our hope, because we're constantly trying to see how we stack up. And when we sin, we see that we don't measure up at all, because God demands perfection. Our score then reads zero. The sin weighs heavy. Life seems lost. But you see, the good news is that Jesus Christ comes and declares game over. In the gospel, there is one who destroys all modes of measure and fulfills all demands to deliver. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The gospel is a gift that is beyond all measure. It's not quantifiable. You can't calculate its value or determine its worth in human terms. It goes beyond our ability to measure, and it exceeds our knowledge of arithmetic. The gospel is a gift that can never be earned, bought, or won, period. It is all and entirely a gift of God's love. In fact, the love of Jesus Christ that He has for you, you can't measure it. Not because it doesn't have a measurable value, but because the power and the vastness of His love would break every instrument and tool that tried to measure it. His love for you is beyond all measure. And to make that clear for us, Jesus forgives you more sins than you've got. Every moment that you've tried to measure your self-worth against someone else's, every instance that you've compared your status to another, every time that you've despised someone for having something that you don't, Jesus wipes the scorecard clean and then puts His perfect score in your place. You are not justified by your good works, but by the works of Jesus Christ. So if you're desperate to measure something, if you just have to measure something, measure the time that He spent suffering on the cross for your sins. How many minutes does it add up to be? Measure the blood that He lost when He was scourged in your place. How many pints was it? If you want to measure something, count the days that His body was in the tomb. Calculate the weight of that tombstone that was thrust aside on Easter Sunday. The good news of the gospel is that you are not valued by your works, your accomplishments, or your achievements. You are valued by your presence. See, the Heavenly Father desperately wants you to be present with Him. So count, if you can, all the days of eternity, because that's how long the Heavenly Father wants you to be with Him. And to make sure that happens, He sent His Son to redeem you, and the Holy Spirit to esteem you. together the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, wrap you up in baptismal righteousness, bind you up in Christ's innocence, and seal you up with eternal blessedness. And this means that you are freed. You are freed from the pressure to perform, freed from the demands to deliver, to be more, try harder, do better. Jesus delivers you out of the whole score-keeping grid. His grace is for you, free and clear, even today. You're invited to hear it, see it, taste it, given and shed for you, his body and blood under bread and wine. The good news is that Jesus Christ adores you. And so I challenge you, if you must measure something, take a day, take a month, or better yet, take your whole lifetime and see if you can measure how much Jesus loves you. Read his word. Spend time with him in prayer. You'll find that his grace is limitless and his mercy is marvelous. Because his love for you will never run out, never cease to exist, and never, never fall short. Jesus' love for you is beyond all measure. Amen. Now may the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds and keep you strong in that faith of our Savior Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.